Hey, what's up, America? This is Duke of the Right. This is my second episode. It's probably going to be a short one because I got to go pick up my mother. I just figured I'd do a quick, about 10-15 minute episode. Now, I'll probably finish off while I'm in the car on my way to work. So today is Tuesday, the February 18th, 2020. And just another day in Trump's America. This wonderful country with this wonderful president. It's really making a difference. He's really reminding the American people that we're still number one. And no other country could match our patriotism, match our passion to do better. And, you know, it's a beautiful country, the best country in the world. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm eating my Cheerios. Well, they're not actual Cheerios. They're some kind of brand, like this healthy brand. So, I'm sorry, I'm chewing in the freaking mic. So, this morning, I was on Facebook, on my account that wasn't suspended for a month, and I stumbled upon a video of Dr. Ben Carson. I think it was like a compilation of like two or three videos where he's talking to a crowd. And the first one was, I believe he was talking to a crowd of black Republicans, black Trump supporters. And basically he was saying how the Democratic Party tells black people who to vote for, what to think, and if they go against that, they're Uncle Toms. They're a traitor to their race, and they're going to be responsible for the demise of black people, which is really a sick, sick thing to do. And what gets me, and I've heard this from numerous people, from black liberals and white liberals, which blows my mind even more, is they say that Ben Carson is trying to be white. He's dying to be white. What, the way he talks, the way he acts. And I mean, besides the fact that it's retarded that black people say it, but white liberals are saying this. I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing that there are white liberals out there that are saying that. What they're saying, by white liberals, white progressives saying that Ben Carson is a piece of shit Uncle Tom and he's trying to be white, trying so hard to be white, you know, like I said, by the way he talks, the way he acts. The guy is fucking brilliant. I mean, he is one of the smartest people in the world. The guy is a immensely accomplished brain surgeon. He's a neurosurgeon that has saved hundreds of lives of babies. Not to mention, the guy came from nothing. I mean, he came from the slums of Detroit and the projects, no father. You know? So he started out the way that, you know, these black liberals started out, or are right now, in the ghetto, whether it's, you know, South Bronx, East New York, Harlem, not really Harlem anymore, but Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, you name it, all these terrible slums, these black neighborhoods, right, where majority of them are living in extreme poverty, American poverty, I mean, which means, you know, you're which means that you are fattest in the world. American poor people are the fattest people in the country. And it doesn't apply to the rest of the world. You know, our poor people, American poor people, are considered fucking rich compared to 95% of the world's population. Now, real quick, I don't know why, you know, if you notice something choppy at 5 minutes, I don't know why, but at 5 minutes, it cut me off, so I had to start again, continue off, so, you know, I apologize if that kind of was weird. I don't know why it's fucking doing this. Only on my laptop, not on my Mac, I mean, not on my iPad. I don't know why it cuts off at 5 minutes, but hopefully this works out all right. I apologize. All these poor people, all these black poor people that say that they are oppressed and the reason why they are in the spot that they're in now is because of the government, because of racism, systematic racism. But Ben Carson did it. The guy is, like I said, in the same exact boat as the rest of you. Some would say even worse, because this is back in the 70s. You know? That was way more intense than now. But here's the thing. He had, even though his dad was missing from his life, his mom really played an important role in his success, because she did not accept that victimhood mentality. And she always drilled it in his head. You're not a victim. You could do whatever you want in life as long as you try. And she would constantly say things like that instead of saying, you know, you're always going to be behind. The white people are holding you down. You'd have to work 10 times harder than everybody else, other white people, in order to be at their level. Constantly beating these poor black kids down, eventually leading to them being like, well, fuck it. I'm never going to get ahead, so might as well do what I want. Might as well just be a criminal and make my money then. You know, the black market doesn't discriminate. There's no systematic racism in the drug dealing community. But that mentality is going on across the nation. And that's a fucking terrible thing. I mean, Ben Carson is not anecdotal evidence here. There are plenty of successful black people in this country that started out from nothing. But the problem is the Democratic Party. This is their whole goal. This is why they're all socialists. Even the ones that say, oh, Bernie's a socialist. No. Here's the thing, real quick. The Democrats that claim that they're not socialist, they are. But they know that by the socialist name is a losing battle. They would lose millions and millions of supporters if they officially labeled themselves socialist. Because at the end of the day, even though you still got a lot of idiots supporting Bernie for being a democratic socialist, majority of Americans will refuse socialism in this country. And the Democrats know that. So what they do is they claim they're not socialist, but they start implementing socialist policies here and there, slowly but surely. This is their whole technique. They slowly chip away at our foundation. That is their whole base. That's what they do. And eventually, it gets bigger and bigger. Still claiming, they're not socialist, but they're doing socialist things right under the American people's nose that really don't know true socialist, policies. They don't know. So, you know, this is what they do. And don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. This is their agenda. Bernie is just up front about it, you know? And that's the story with that. If you notice, it was a brief pause. I had to switch from Safari to Chrome, apparently, in order for the thing to not stop at 5 minutes. I apologize. I'm brand new with this shit. I'm learning, you know. This one says, heads up, you can record for up to 30 minutes in your web browser. If you'd like to record for longer, you could use any app on your computer and then upload the file. Okay, now when I was on Safari, it said that, but 5 minutes, and they said to switch to Chrome. Whatever. That's another thing that I learned. See, every day is a learning proposition for me, and I'm happy with that. You know, like I learned something new today. Made myself look like an idiot, which is normal for me. So, it's just crazy, man. This world is crazy. Let's see what I have written over here. Oh, okay. So, one of the main things that I've been talking about lately with my friends and my family and even to myself, you know, and I'm sure, like, you know, people touched on this before, but I really want to dive into this because this, I think, is one of the key things to you're really looking at the Democratic Party and why they do things and, you know, what their message is behind it. There's a term called gaslighting. And it's something that they do, the Democratic Party does, to gain power, okay? I'm going to give you the official definition right now, the Merriam-Webster one. Because I don't remember the exact words to it, but okay. So, gaslighting means to manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity. Okay? Now here's an example that they put. This is on Psychology Today. Okay? Gaslighting is a tactic in which a person or entity, in order to gain more power, makes a victim question their reality. And it says, it works much better than you think. For one example, in the movie Gaslight, 1944, a man manipulates his wife to the point where she thinks she's losing her mind. That's one of the definitions. Another one of the definitions, and I'm going to use it in my New York City public education terms, okay? So bear with me. It's an action where you, a person who is eager to gain power, accuses the opposition of doing something typically bad that the person who's doing the blaming is actually doing. I'll give you an example because I don't think I even understand what I just said. This is a quick example. It's a brief one. You know, Joe Biden. Joe Biden clearly did a quid pro quo. He admitted it. He was proud of it in that stupid interview where he said, if you don't fire this guy, we're going to leave, blah, blah, blah. If you don't give me $6 million, you know, pretending to be a tough guy because that's his act. Even though he's not a tough guy, he's nowhere near a tough guy. You know, he's probably bullied in school. And he's trying to get back at guys like Trump who probably bullied him in school, you know. So they blame Trump for doing that to take the attention off of Biden. Just like the whole racism thing. This is my favorite one. This is where it really, you know, occurred to me. The left has been accusing the right, Republicans, of racism for decades, okay? Decades, since the 60s, well, maybe the 70s. Saying that, you know, like with another Joe Biden reference, saying that if you vote for Romney, y'all gonna be back in chains. What a ridiculous statement that was. The fact that all black people didn't say fuck you to Joe Biden is beyond me. But that's because they're brainwashed. But they've been calling Republicans racist for a very long time. And brainwashing black people into thinking so. So they can gain power. Meanwhile, the left, they are the most racial people, racist people in the political system. They truly believe that black people are stupid. This is not opinion. This is not opinion. They think they're stupid. And the reason why I say that is because they throw out these scenarios. They throw out these fallacies saying that, you know, Republicans don't care about you. They, you know, they're all white supremacists, white nationalists, blah, blah, blah. But the Democrats think they're stupid and think they're not capable of thinking for themselves. Affirmative action, number one. Okay? Now, in hindsight, I could understand it in the beginning. Because, listen, slavery was a fucking terrible, terrible institution. That, by the way, 600,000 white Americans died to free black slaves. Okay? I don't think there was really any other country in the world that had over 500,000 people die for the rights of a certain race. That doesn't happen. That never happens, especially in the Middle East. So, they claim that they're racist. And what I'm saying is with affirmative action is that, like I said, I understand in the beginning because they were really dealt a bad hand. You know, they were held back. So I get it in the beginning. All right, let's give them a jump start, you know. Let's give them a jump start so they could get on their feet, you know, and you know, get to where they should have been all along. Okay, fine. That got blown out of proportion so bad to where that white people are getting fucked over out of jobs, out of colleges they want to get to, all because of skin color. Now, I truly believe in merit. Merit 100%. I don't think they should ever ask for your race. I don't even think they should ask for your name. It should be purely on your grades. Why would it not be? Then there's no way, it's impossible to have any kind of bias. It's impossible because it's purely on merit. You can't see the name, you can't see the race, you can't even see the gender. It should be who got this score between this score and this score. Whoever did it, the first 1,000 people, they're going to get it. Now, people will argue, well, black people make up a really small percentage of the country. So the odds of them getting in, I mean, yeah, I understand that argument. But, like, you can't fuck other people over to accommodate a small percentage of the country. That's not fair. You know? I mean, they're on fucking, a ton of them are on welfare. They're getting money from white people regardless. Like, it turned into a terrible, terrible policy that does not help black people. It holds them back, and it gives them a complex, too. And it makes people, a lot of people probably look at them and be like, oh, he's a fucking affirmative action hire. And you know what? I can't blame people for thinking that, especially when they're shitty workers. I'm not saying black people are shitty workers. I'm saying if the situation, whatever it is. The Democratic Party were the ones that started the KKK. They were the ones that were part of the Confederacy that wanted the slaves. Okay? Jim Crow. They weren't Republicans. Black people overwhelmingly voted Republican up until like the 50s, 60s, when when the Democrats started this whole bullshit narrative saying, oh, the party switched. Because they are power hungry. Naturally, they have always been power hungry. This is what they are about. They're not about the country. They're about power. And they knew that gaining the black vote, that gives you power. Because that's a whole demographic. And I'll tell you right now, if the Democrats lose part of the Democrat of the black vote, they're done. They are fucking done. I mean, and that's not an opinion, that's a fact. They don't have a prayer. Because that's really their only solid, you know, base. Like, who else do they have? Women vote Republican. I mean, you have the stupid feminist. But in reality, they don't really make up a big percentage of the population of women. They don't. You know, Latina, Latino, whatever. I mean, I guess they, you know, vote more Democratic, but they, you know, it's not nearly like blacks. There's a lot of Spanish people, Hispanic people that are Republican, because Hispanic people are still very old-fashioned. They are huge on family. I'm Italian, so I understand that. That's why a ton of Italian Americans are Republican, because we're big on family, and the Democratic Party is not. They're not big on morals and family. Italian Americans are very religious. We're Catholics, whatever. So are a lot of Hispanic people, and it's fairly obvious now that Democrats are anti-Christian. They are pro-Muslim, but they're anti-Christian, definitely anti-Judaism. But they're pro-Islam. They're pro-atheism. And listen, if you're a Muslim, okay, that's great. I mean, I don't really care. I don't care what, even if you're an atheist, I don't care. But here's the thing. America was founded on Christian principles. Yes, there's a separation of church and state. I'm all for that. But our fundamental principles, our values, and our morals were based on Christianity. The Ten Commandments, all that stuff. And what the Democrats are doing is they're doing everything in their power to get rid of that. If you haven't noticed, the real far left, what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right, what's normal is abnormal. You got people, you know, out of nowhere changing their genders, wanting, you know, a woman who changed into a male. No, a male that changed into a female wants to use the woman's restroom. And it's a big thing. Like, that's what Obama passed. Like, don't you have other shit to worry about? You're really going to focus your time on what fucking bathroom you're going to use? That's why Obama's a piece of shit. That's why I can't stand that motherfucker. Not because of his skin color, because I would be fucking ecstatic to have Ben Carson as the next president. I would be so freaking happy, especially after Trump. You know, I didn't think he would be the best fit for president in 2016, because right after an extremist leftist like Obama, you need an extremist in a way to counter that. Trump is making America great again, and he keeps doing it. And when his next term is up, was that in 2024, hopefully times are going to be great. And that's when a mild-mannered guy like Ben Carson would be perfect. You can't have a guy like Trump in there in good times. I don't think that would be the right fit. But a guy like Ben Carson would be beautiful. You know, in good times, things got great. He's mild-mannered. Let's bring back civility to politics. You know, I'd be all for that. I would not hesitate for a second to vote for him. And I know every Republican thinks the same way. It doesn't matter about skin color. Fuck your skin color. If you ask me, fuck the skin color. But you get rid of that shit. You're American colored. You're red, white, and blue. That's the only thing that really should matter. I'm Italian American. I'm proud to be Italian. I love my heritage. But I'm American first. Period. Fucking period. Of course, Italians are very proud of their heritage. And I am definitely proud to be an Italian. But I'm even way more proud to be an American. Way more. You'll never catch me raising the Italian flag before an American flag. Because if my ancestors, my great-grandfather and great-grandmothers didn't leave Italy, God knows what would have happened. They had Mussolini. They're not a free country. I mean, things are changing now, possibly in the right direction, even though you have an influx of fucking refugees coming in and causing a ton of crime. But there is also a movement in Italy, a conservative movement, that is not happy about it. And they're doing what they can to fight back. And I love seeing that. And I'm not here to say, like, don't be proud of where you come from. Of course, be proud. But be proud to be an American, because there is no other place that you would have this opportunity. This, like, all the immigrants. I used to not understand my dad when he would see, like, when, you know, we're big Yankee fans, me and my dad. We bond over the Yankees, always did. When the Yankees won the World Series in 2009, he took me to the parade, Canyon of Heroes on Broadway. Got there at 4 a.m. Well, no, we got there at like 5 a.m. Got a great spot, you know, because he used to work on Wall Street. He went to a bunch of the parades in the 90s for the Yankees and the Rangers. And he knew the best spots, right on Broadway and Exchange Place, Exchange Alley over there. And it was like the greatest time of my life. I was so excited. I was so happy. It was just beautiful. My favorite team, the Yankees, with my dad. I remember that, like, one of my greatest memories. So the Mariano Rivera float started coming. I mean, not his float, but it was one of the floats with Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit, a bunch of the pitchers. I don't know if Jeter was on that float, but my dad saw Rivera waving around the Panama flag. He saw him waving the Panama flag, and he did not stop talking about it. Get the fuck out of here. You shouldn't be waving that flag. You're in America. You're an American. Panama didn't make you great. America did. I used to think he was such an asshole for that, because I loved Mo, and my dad loved Mo too. And I never really understood it. I used to get so mad. I used to fight with him. I'm like, it's not a big fucking deal. Like, give it a break. It's his heritage. And then I started to realize, you know, as time went on, like, all right, I understand that. America is the country that made you a millionaire. That doesn't happen in Panama. You know, the poor guy was playing baseball with a milk carton for a glove and a rock as a ball. Every Yankee fan knows that story about Mariano. So, you know, I finally started to understand that. And I was like, all right, no, I get that. But then we find out that Mariano is a Trump supporter, that he is a very patriotic guy. He's a big Trump supporter. He's an America lover. He's proud of this country. He's proud of, you know, everything that America is, and appreciative of this country that made him successful. You know, and besides the fact that he is probably the best closer the game has ever seen, you know, in the 120 years that baseball's been around, MLB. So, you know, that is, that's the story about that. So I'm going to take a quick break. I got to call my mother. I don't know how this is going to work out, but just bear with me, guys. I don't even know if anybody's listening to this, but I'm trying here. I just got to pause this for about 5 minutes, not even, and I'll come back. It probably won't even show up 5 minutes, but whatever. All right. I'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, YouTube? This is the Duke again with Duke of the Right. I took a little break. I had to do a few things. You know, I'm still trying to get everything all squared up with this podcast. So, in the meantime, I was going through the news. I was on New York Post for a little while. And I wanted to focus this next half of the segment on New York City, because that's where I'm from. I'm actually on my way there right now. And one of the main things I want to talk about is this is the rise in crime that's already starting to happen due to the stupid bail reform program, law, whatever you want to call it, to where, you know, there's no more bail. There's no more fucking bail. And they said the exceptions are violent crimes. Meanwhile, a few weeks ago, I think the first or second day this law was, you know, in action, a guy committed an anti-Semitic attack on a Jew, black kid, in Brooklyn, gets locked up, gets released, does it again and again and again. It's just a vicious cycle, because these criminals, whether they're kids or grown, they know now that, hey, what's the big fucking deal? All right, so I get locked up for a few minutes, for a few hours, not even, and I get out. Oh, yeah, and I got a fucking court date. Yeah, I'm not fucking showing up for that. Fuck that, you know? So now they're roaming the streets, so that period between the time you get released and the time your court date is, they're right back out on the streets committing the same crime. And if you get arrested, right, for committing, let's say, like, for instance, an anti-Semitic crime, or, you know, beating up, in this case, a Jewish person, you get locked up, you get released in the same fucking breath, and you go out and do it again, the same thing's gonna happen. It's not like, all right, you get one shot, and if you, you know, we release you, and if you do it again, you're not fucking leaving. No. It happened five fucking times to the guy who was robbing the banks. You know? I mean, if you're gonna do this stupid bail reform thing, it should be this. All right, we'll release you. You have one shot. You have one shot. If you fuck up again, you're not going anywhere. And you're not going to be able to post bail because you're going to be stuck in here. If anything, it should be like that. Like, there's no incentive for them to not do it again. I mean, they're giving them Mets tickets and MTA cards. What the fuck is that? What is the fucking purpose of that? I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Okay? I really can't. It makes no fucking sense to me. And I'm honestly sick of these fucking people. Really, it's absurd. You know. So de Blasio, this was an interesting article that actually really was music to my ears. Mr. de Blasio, this fucking communist low life, during his failed presidential run last year. What he did when he was in LA, he billed the taxpayers $358,000 for Red Sox tickets, including his security detail and everything. So think about this for a second. I mean, it's not like he took that out of his own pocket, because this is all federal, you know. I mean, he's a mayor, so he is required to have security personnel. I mean, I don't know if he's absolutely required, but I think they want him to do that. $350,000 has been billed to the city of New York taxpayers so he could get Red Sox tickets and have his little political podcast. How the fuck do people... It's seriously a fucking problem. And the fact that they voted him in twice is the most pathetic, sad thing that's happened to New York City in a very long time. Put it that way. I mean, okay, fine. The first time, I don't get it, because I knew the guy was a piece of shit. I knew he was a Marxist, self-avowed Marxist socialist, right? You know, hated the cops. He idolized David Dinkins. David Dinkins, the fucking worst mayor that New York City has ever seen. Not only does he idolize him, but he couldn't stand Giuliani and made that very known. So he idolizes Dinkins. He completely trashed Giuliani and his policies, which is really I would like to say it's mental retardation, because in my opinion, that's like a physical impossibility to have an opinion like that. Because, I mean, it's all about the numbers. Dinkins was a horrendous mayor. Horrendous. Dude, he fucking... First of all, okay, fine. So he became mayor in a time where the city was fucked. But he made it so much worse. Not only did he do absolutely nothing to help the city, but he made it worse. It was carte blanche. You could get away with anything. Exactly what's going on now. And it took a guy like Giuliani, a no-nonsense fucking guy, to come in and to fucking completely shake up the city's government, to shake up the city, period. You know, and I'm a person, I value free speech. I value freedom, period. I don't like any police states. I don't like any of that. But here's the thing with New York. It has potential to be a very dangerous city. We're not talking about the whole country. We're talking about New York City, the five boroughs. There's almost 9 million people in a very small proximity to each other. And unfortunately, you need to have stricter laws. You can't have the same laws that you would have in a small city like Austin or like Bumblefuck. Unfortunately, it has to be more strict. And that's why the broken windows policy was a success. It was a complete success. Along with stop and frisk. Stop and frisk worked.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you.
Stop and frisk did wonders for the city. And, of course, racial profiling is wrong, right? Because we're all human beings. But here's the deal. It wasn't about racial profiling. First of all, the neighborhoods, the people of these shitty neighborhoods were fed up with the city for not tackling the crime, especially the minority neighborhoods. They felt like they were left behind. The white neighborhoods had virtually very little crime, and the black neighborhoods and the Latina, Puerto Rican neighborhoods had very high crime. So they accused the city of neglecting those minority communities. Okay, so what the city does, what Giuliani decides to do, is to create a task force that was originally called Stop, Question, and Frisk, which I happen to like better. You got to remember, a police officer, it's not only about finding a perp, arresting them, and booking them. No, they have to do their own research, too, on the scene. If they see two or three kids with hoods on, right? It's no secret. People could tell if other people are acting sketchy, acting shady. You know, you have an idea. It's not always the case, but a lot of the times it is. You pull them over. You stop them. Hey, what's up, guys? Where you heading? And if they comply, oh, we're heading here and there. And if everything makes sense, most of the time, all right, guys, be safe out there. Or if the police decides that his judgment says, I don't know, something's wrong here. They're not being compliant with me. Something's bulging out of his pants. He's being very defensive. He's nervous, this and that. Maybe we should check him out, make sure he's not carrying a weapon. Make sure he's not selling drugs on the street, killing all the people in the neighborhood. I don't agree with the aggressive thing necessarily, throw him up against the fucking wall. I say, all right, listen, let me pat you down. If we're good, you go on your way and you keep doing what you're doing. Police work, unfortunately, requires some kind of profiling. It's just the way it is. I'm not saying racial profiling. I'm saying there's a description, not a description, a like, you know, a certain demeanor about people. That's a better word. A certain demeanor about certain people that maybe are a little off than a regular guy. He could be black. He could be white. He could be blue. It doesn't matter. But if you're the police officers, they're trained to make this type of judgment call. That they're actually trained for that. They gotta know, they gotta think on their feet, they gotta be able to identify a situation in a matter of seconds, because those seconds could determine life or death for him and the people around him. And if he feels that something's up here, he's gotta take action. It really annoys me when you have these people that really bash stop and frisk. Meanwhile, when that was going on, the crime rate fucking nosedived. It went down 75% in a very short amount of time, might I add, because of stop and frisk, because of the broken windows policy, because of the turnstile jumping enforcement. It's all relative. It all matters. In a city like New York, you gotta have law and order. There's a lot of people living in these boroughs. There's a lot of families living in these boroughs. And there's a lot of people. When there's a lot of people, there's all different types. There's law-abiding citizens. There's criminals. There's all different types. So, in my opinion, and in most smart people's opinion, you gotta have a tough approach on crime. I'm not saying to strip people of their rights, because I don't go for that either. But in order to protect the people in a city, sometimes you gotta do certain things. Not surrender people's rights, absolutely fucking not. But, and people will not agree with this, but you know what? If you're not doing anything wrong, you better fucking, you should go out of your way to make sure you don't look like you might be doing something. If you don't want to be fucking stop and frisk, don't put the take the fucking hood off. Stop sagging your pants. You know, I mean, like, there's a simple description. You look, I mean, like, it's just patterns. See, here's the deal. This is my biggest fucking thing. The left chooses to ignore patterns, okay? That's what political correctness is. The willingness to ignore patterns. Black people make up 13% of the population, commit 55% of the all overall crimes in America. Does that mean that black people are less than white people? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that they're inferior to white people at all, because we're all fucking human. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. But obviously, there's some kind of issue within the black community. And God forbid they really dive into that. I happen to think the number one problem is fatherless households. Another stat, 78% of black kids live in a house without a dad, are raised by a single mother. 78%. I don't know if it's 78 or 79%. Doesn't matter. 70-something percent of black children grow up without a dad. White people, I think it's 35%, and that's still high. Don't you think that maybe there's a correlation between, you know, the outrageous crime statistics in the black neighborhood compared with the astronomically high single motherhood rate in the black neighborhood? And if you don't think there's any correlation, then you're lying or you're a fucking fool. And I'm not even blaming that on the black people. I'm really not. I'm blaming it on the people they vote in and that they have been voting in for the last 60 years. This is the black people's agenda. This is Lyndon B. Johnson's ultimate agenda. Give them just enough so they can't complain, but so they don't get enough power as well. Here's an incentive. Listen, have kids. If you have kids, we'll give you money. But that means you can't have a husband in the house. You can't have a dad in the house. Excuse me. But so if you have a father in the house, you can't get any of that money. Because that means you have no excuse, you know, to need welfare. So what that did was incentivize black mothers to have kids out of wedlock and dump the father and get money for each kid they have. Doesn't matter how many dads, doesn't matter how many baby daddies there are. As long as they're all under that roof without a husband, without a father or father figure in the house, that mother gets money. And the reason why the Democrats want that is because the more people depend on the government, the more power the government has over the people. Because you have them by the balls. You get away with whatever you want. You dangle things over their heads. Hey, listen, we're giving you money every month. We're giving you every money. We're giving you money every month. So you know who to vote for, right? And of course, oh my God, I don't want to lose my welfare. I'll be on the street with my kids. And then they say to the Democrat, Democrats say to the voters, Republicans are looking to get rid of that. So you better vote for us, or else you're going to be on the street. You see how it's a vicious cycle? It's a scary thing. And this has been going on for decades. And I'm just breaking the surface here. It goes so much deeper. And it really started with Lyndon B. Johnson. I mean, I would argue it starts back before the Civil War. But we'll talk about the last 100 years. Lyndon B. Johnson and crew were very racist people, like genuinely racist people. There are so many quotes that Lyndon B. Johnson made that were openly racist, something that you would really never hear a Republican say. But this has been the Democratic Party's real agenda, because they know if they get the black vote, they have a very good chance of winning elections, because, I mean, they make up 13% of the population. It's not a lot, but it's not a little. And to have 95% of a whole demographic, that's pretty good. I mean, there's black people in every single state, just about. So, you get where I'm coming from? This is the way that they do things. And it's really, really disgusting. And that's why I get so angry when I see black people talk so badly about Donald Trump and the Republicans, and they blindly follow the Democratic Party because they're told, because their mothers were told, their grandmothers, they're, you know, and it's just going to keep going and going, generation to generation. But has any of them just stopped for a second and said, has our lives really been positively affected in the last 60 years by any Democrat policy? The Democrats, they control majority of the cities with high black population, the slums. I mean, listen, I'm from New York. The black neighborhoods under Giuliani and even under Bloomberg, they were doing fucking great compared to what they were. But as soon as de Blasio gets in and stops all of these tactics to reduce crime, he gave them a free pass to commit as much crime without punishment. There's graffiti all over the trains. There's anti-Semitic attacks happening all over the place. No more bail. There's bail reform. It's a nod to criminals. And all in the same breath, the government is turning their backs on the victims. This is now a city that values criminals over victims, that will do everything in their power to protect criminals, including illegal aliens, over law-abiding citizens. If you don't see a problem with that, then you are the worst type of brainwashed out there. And that is a fucking fact. It's very scary. And I really, I truly hope that things change. I hope that, you know, that when de Blasio's term is up, someone really good, a Republican, goes on the ticket. I really hope people wake up. But for some reason, I feel like it's not going to happen. Because New York City's demographics are so different than what they were 20 years ago. I mean, you have all these transplants, all these hipsters, these weirdos, these yuppies that aren't even from New York, that blindly vote Democrat. Blindly vote Democrat. Doesn't matter what they are. Doesn't matter if the Democrat, you know, mayor candidate is literally a fucking Nazi or a socialist piece of shit, which this one is, self-avowed. They're still going to vote for him because there's the D next to his name or her name. I see a big problem with that. And this is happening throughout all the cities in the country. The Democrats do not know how to run cities. And they don't like black people. They think black people are stupid. They think that they can't think for themselves. So the Democrats are going to do the thinking for them. You have to vote for this guy. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to hate Trump. If you don't hate Trump, you're an Uncle Tom and you're a race traitor. Meanwhile, Trump has done more for the black community than the last fucking 10 presidents. And that's all on paper, and it's just obvious. The unemployment rate is fucking so low, low as it's ever been in all minority communities and in women communities. Or the woman, whatever, you know? What does that tell you? And then even if the case was, oh, it's Obama's the reason why the unemployment rate is so low. All right, that's bullshit, but let's say it was true. If Trump was such a racist, wouldn't he put an end to that? Think about it. If Trump was a true racist, if Trump truly hated minorities, truly hated blacks and Hispanics and Muslims and women, why would he continue the trend? Wouldn't he do everything he can to fucking to put them back into poverty? Instead, he's accelerated the unemployment rate decline to 3-point-something%. That's never got that low before. And all across the board. But here's the thing. And I'm not just saying this. I really believe that people are really going to be surprised how many blacks will vote for Trump this election in 2020. I think people are going to be blown away. I do. I genuinely do. I mean, there has never been a black Republican movement like what's been going on now. I mean, it's huge. It's fucking huge. Because they're finally realizing that they've been lied to and toyed with for so long. For so long. And it's coming to an end. Big time. It's going to be very interesting. Latino, same thing. It's going to be a high turnout. Everybody loves Trump. Everybody loves Trump. I mean, not everybody, but everybody with a brain. Every hardworking, normal, America-loving human being. They notice how good Trump is doing. They notice how much he loves this country. They see it. Because they haven't had a president like this. Obama sucked. Obama was one of the worst presidents America ever had. Bush sucked. What the fuck did he do that was so good? Nothing. Nothing. He's a fucking anti-socialist too. He's a part of the skull and crossbones. Clinton came in at a beautiful time. The guy didn't have to do anything, and he still fucked up. He got those guys killed overseas. He was getting blowjobs left and right, disgracing the fucking White House. Bush Sr., another one, came in at a beautiful time. And he was only fucking president for 4 years. And before that was Reagan. Probably top three presidents America has ever seen. Top five, at least. Jimmy Carter before that. Really? Ford, he was all right. But you get my point. Nobody has had results the way Donald Trump has gotten them. Nobody. No president. Not even Reagan. And Reagan was one of the best. Because Donald Trump is not a politician. He's not into that bullshit. He doesn't owe anybody anything. That's the problem with modern politics. Everybody owes somebody something between lobbyists and this and that. Trump owes nothing to nobody. He made his money fair and square for working hard and trying to be the best that he could possibly be. And he said 30 years ago, I really don't want to run for president. But if my country really needs me, I'll be there. And the country needed him more than ever, because just think about the hell America would be in right now if Hillary Clinton got into office right after Obama. I actually get sick to my stomach when I think of that. America would die. Our culture would be completely turned inside out. What's right is wrong. What's normal is abnormal. This is what the progressives want. They're sick. They're sick in the head. They're miserable, lonely people who hate their lives. You know, a lot of the women that love Hillary, which I don't really think that there's many left. But you know, they're all miserable, lonely people. That probably can't get a guy and end up resenting men. But whatever. I just have a few more little updates, a few more little quick news updates here, and then I guess I'll close this out. I just took another break because I'm working right now, but I just listened to the last half of the podcast. I think I curse too much. I definitely curse too much. I didn't like the way it sounded at all. I sounded very ignorant. It's hard for me not to curse. You know, it's the way I was raised. I was, you know, raised around a father who just, every other word was fuck. You know, he's old school Brooklyn guy. He's just, you know, it's just the way that he talked and expressed himself. And I ended up adopting that at a young age. Although I still don't curse around him. I'm 25 years old and I still don't curse around him. And if I do slip up, he says, hey, hey, hey. Like, it's really funny because I always tell him he's a fascist. It's, do as I say, not as I do with him. And he's like, yep, that's fucking right. That's what he says. He's nuts. I love him. We clash. We clash all the time because we're so much alike, but I love him. He's my best friend. He doesn't know it because I don't tell him, I don't show him, but he's my best friend. But I got to stop cursing on this because I don't like the way I think I sound like an idiot, honestly. I don't like it at all. But anyway, so I'm just, like I said earlier, I was reading the New York Post app, and literally the first three or four articles on the Metro page. Let me just read you the headlines first. Just bear with me. I'm driving right now, trying to read this. All right, ready? So, the first one I already told you about de Blasio billing the taxpayers, $358,000, for Red Sox tickets, you know, and the security that he needed, right? That was the first one. The second one was, man raped and robbed a massage parlor worker in Queens Monday, and he fled the scene. So the reason why I'm reading this all correlates to what I said earlier about the bail reform and about Dinkins and about how de Blasio is ruining the city. And I believe I almost want to say it's on purpose. I almost want to say it's on purpose. So this is just an example of what that whole bail reform and what de Blasio's stance on crime does to a city like New York. And this is the tip of the iceberg. So, and I'm not going to give you too much detail about any of these. It's just a little insight and a quick, I mean, I looked into this for about 15 minutes. I didn't even dive. I didn't even break the surface. So, Monday, yesterday, a man raped and robbed a massage parlor worker in Queens. He fled the scene. They can't find him. Another one directly under that article was, a burglar crawls into through the McDonald's drive-thru window and robs the money from the register at gunpoint in Long Island City in Queens. He robbed $3,600 from the safe. Okay. Directly under that, a Queens junior high school kid stabs another classmate with an insulin needle. This was in Hollis, Queens, another fantastic neighborhood. This was last week on February 7th. Also, the school failed to notify the parents about this event, which the parents are pretty pissed off about. And the school administration told the parents of the victim that, oh, the kid can transfer. And the parents said, well, we don't want to transfer the kid. We don't want to uproot his life because some idiot. How about you fix the school? Why do my kids have to go through the annoying and, you know, sometimes traumatizing experience of switching schools in the middle of the year because you can't get your school under control? You, as the administration, should be getting your school in order and making sure this stuff doesn't happen. But instead, they're worried about teaching the kids about LGBTQRVWXYZ or bringing the trans people and the drag queens to story hour and brainwashing the kids that Donald Trump is a terrible human being. So they're more concentrated on indoctrination of what they want to make the kids think and grow up to be like, instead of concentrating on the kids' overall safety. And that gets me so annoyed. It makes me want to homeschool my future children. Okay? Let's see. I got another full page here. All right, here's another one. So an ex-con slashed a French tourist's throat on Valentine's Day in Harlem. This one, he's held without bail because it was attempted murder, which I'm actually kind of surprised at. His name is Khalif Young. He's 28 years old, a few years older than me. The victim is still recovering. Let's see. Oh, here's another one. Here's a good one. A robber with a rifle hits up New York City smoke shop. Yesterday, the 17th, at N&N Delaney Smoke Shop in Lower East Side, walked into the store. One of the guys went to go buy a pack of cigarettes, and his friend right behind him pulls out a rifle and says, "I'm going to kill you. You don't want to get killed, do you? Because I will do it right now. Because I will kill you right now." So they got away with $3,500 in cash, 30 packs of cigarettes, lotto tickets, and a cell phone. And they haven't been caught yet. So now, listen, I'm not naive. I know that no matter what, the city is going to have crime. There's almost 9 million people in this city. And, you know, even during the great times of Giuliani, there were some pretty bad things going on. But it's no secret that this is abnormal. The amount of crime that is happening in this city within the past few years under de Blasio's reign of terror is astonishing. And it's starting to really get bad. And it's, if nothing changes, I mean, it's just going to keep getting worse from here until he gets dragged out by his big ears and somebody with a brain gets in. And like I said earlier, to be completely honest with you, I really don't think it's going to happen for a very long time. Because New York City is now full of these millennials, these hipster, yuppie imbeciles that vote Democrat because, once again, they're supposed to, along with the minorities, the black, the Hispanic, you know, they have to vote Democrat because their masters say so, aka the Democrats. That's right, I said it. The Democrats are the black people's masters. That's going to get me some flack, I'm sure, but it's a free country. I could say what I want. And I'm not putting down black people. I'm not saying that they should be slaves. I'm actually saying that it's disgusting and terrible that Democrats treat blacks like that, that they tell them who to vote for, and they've been brainwashing them for decades. I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole because, honestly, I could talk about just what the Democrats do to black people alone for hours on end. There are countless, endless examples of the Democrats exposing themselves as the true manipulative, racist political party. They haven't changed. They have not changed since the Civil War. They haven't. The only thing that they changed was a different approach to their racism, a less obvious racism, a type of racism that is actually so manipulative that they accuse the other side of racism so that they don't look like the racists. I said this earlier, or maybe in my other podcast, that is the Democrats, that is socialist tactics right there in their manifestos, in all of their books, in all of their books that teach socialists how to gain control and how to gain power, is to gaslight, is to accuse someone or a certain political party of doing something wrong that that party is actually doing to take the attention off. Because, you know, most of the time, if someone's accusing someone of something, nobody's going to think the accuser is actually doing it. It's a tactic that they do, and people fall for it. But I think that it's starting to get exposed. But this is what they do. They have not changed. They are still the party of racism. The Democrats are still the party of slavery, still the party of the KKK. They always will be. Another quick thing I wanted to touch up on, just another connection to the Blasio debacle. He's a terrible human being, never mind a terrible mayor, and so is his wife, Charlene McRae. That whole Thrive New York City failure about the mental health thing, you know, and how I think it was $1 billion that just went missing. It vanished in thin air, right? Where is it? How come this is not in the news? How come this is not front page of the Post? The Post has it, but that's really it. I mean, Daily News, they have it buried somewhere. This should be not only on the news every minute, but it should also, it should be like investigated until it's figured out. The city should come to a, see, almost, the city should come to a halt until they find every dollar, every penny. How is this not taken seriously? Let me just read you a few bullet points I've read up on. So the city council speaker, Corey Johnson, said New Yorkers are furious that McRae's $1 billion mental health plan spends a fraction of that money on people who need mental help. I think it was less than 13% of that money. I think way less, actually. So, so I want to know where the rest of the money is going. So let's say it is 13%. Where's the other 87%? Where does it go? Right, that equals 100, right? I'm a little stunned. So that's another failure. That was just it's just another way for this terrible family to extort money out of the city and to line the pockets of their donors and their lobbyists and their socialist stuff. And, oh, one more bonus one. This is quick. Bloomberg accuses Bernie. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I wrote this. Wait. Why do I feel like I screwed this up? I wrote down Bloomberg accuses Bernie of acting like Trump over farm video, but I think it was the other way around. I think Bernie accused Bloomberg. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if any of you guys heard about the Bloomberg thing, about him downplaying the farming thing. Listen, it's no secret. Bloomberg is a douche. Bloomberg is trying to buy his way to the White House. It's no secret. The guy sucks. I give him credit for keeping the city safe, but all he did was just carry on with Giuliani's successful policies to keep the city safe. And only an idiot like de Blasio would put that to an end. I mean, think about that. Bloomberg continued Giuliani's policy, and Bloomberg is really just not a good guy, if you ask me. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I don't really know him. I don't know really what he's about, but I don't care for him. I never did. He's just another rich guy, you know, but who's really short. But that's besides the point. But as much of a dick Bloomberg was and is, he still had the brains to keep Giuliani's policies because he knew that it was working very, very well. And like I said, only a moron, only an idiot would put that to an end. And that's where de Blasio comes in. There is no reason to stop that. The only reason would be to spite the city and to hurt the city, because the city was not hurting. The city was doing great. Especially after 9/11, it bounced back because we kept the crime. They kept the crime at a bare minimum. I mean, it went from what? I think it was 2,000 murders a year to like 200. I don't quote me on that exact stat, but it was just so extremely low. The murder rate after Giuliani got done, you know, including Bloomberg. So, long story short, the city is, it's struggling, and it's going to keep getting worse until, de Blasio is not going to change, let's be honest, de Blasio is not going to change. He's going to continue to destroy the city, like he, you know, instead of staying in his city that is crumbling day by day, he's endorsing Bernie Sanders, going to Nevada and touring with him, kissing his ass. You know, that's just another example of a terrible mayor that doesn't care about the city. You know, he spends the taxpayers' money to further his failed failed presidential run. So I believe that he never really cared about being mayor. He never really cared about making the city better. It was just a stepping stone to get into the White House because he's a socialist, and socialists are power hungry. This is my theory, and I think it's a pretty credible one, because there is nothing that he does that benefits the city. The cops hate him for every correct reason. I mean, they have every right to hate him. He does not have their back. De Blasio does not have the police's back one bit, and it's known. And I still, till this day, I'm in New York City every day, and I have been for years. I still have never met one soul living in this city, or even not anymore, that says, yeah, I like de Blasio, he's good. I've never met one. I swear, even on Facebook, I've never seen one person say, yeah, go de Blasio, love de Blasio. Not once. Which confuses me. Like, his approval rating is like 16 or 12%. Then how did he get voted in twice? How did he get elected twice? Besides the fact that the city, I think, generated about less than 1 million votes the last mayoral election, which is, I mean, what, an eighth of the amount of people? I mean, there's almost 9 million people here and about 1 million people voted, which is basically like the borough of the Bronx voting. That's it. How did he get in again? And that's because you have the black people and the other minorities. You know, they are basically there. I know that there are some places where they're actually bused to polling areas, and on those buses they say, all right, we're getting you to the polls. You know who to vote for. You could thank de Blasio for this bus. He's the one that chartered this bus for you. So you know who to vote for. And plus, you know, because de Blasio has a biracial family, an interracial family, you know, he's progressive, quote unquote. His son has an afro. His wife is black. His daughter's black. Oh my God, he's so progressive. We have to vote for him. No, it doesn't matter about the policies. It doesn't matter if he's a communist, admittedly. Oh, I don't care. It's better than voting for a Republican. Republicans aren't good. Meanwhile, Republicans are the ones that were the only ones that actually fixed the city. You know, it's that mindless voting. It's that it's that one-track mind that drives me crazy about the black community. And like I said, I can't even blame them. I can't even get mad about at black people for it. It's the Democrats that have been doing this for so long that they just completely brainwashed all of them. They feel like they have to vote Democrat. It's not even a question. They don't even care who is running for Republican. They don't even care. They don't even care who's running as a Democrat. They just know that they're voting for them, period. No questions asked. And listen, we're all guilty of that. You know, usually if, you know, whatever party we belong to, we just, you know, we're voting Republican. But at the same time, I mean, you know, there's really no Republicans that are an actual threat to our country and our city's, you know, democracy and our republic and our capitalistic, you know, it just doesn't go like that. And plus, I noticed that Republicans care more about policy than anything else. Policy and facts, while Democrats play on the emotional card, like with the illegal aliens, all the kids in the cages. Meanwhile, Barack Obama was the one that came up with that. And it just makes sense to separate them because you don't bring kids to jail with all their other criminals. They take good care of the kids. That's common sense. That's common knowledge. Anybody that denies that just doesn't read and doesn't want to read, doesn't care about what it really is. They just want to play the heartstrings of people. That's the Democrat way, once again. And this I've been saying for a long time. The Democrats' best tactic is the emotion. They know that black people are very emotional. They're strong-willed. They're very emotional people. And they're very proud people. And I get that. I'm Italian. I'm proud to be Italian. But here's the thing. I'm more proud of being American. I'm very proud to be Italian. I mean, I'm Italian-American. I take pride. I got flags everywhere. But I'm way more proud to be an American. America comes first in my heart. Not my skin color. Not my heritage. Not my ethnicity. No. America. This is the place where I was born and raised. This is the place that gave me the freedom that no other country could. Italy's not free like America. There's no country in Africa that is nearly as free as America, along with other things. So, things really got to change in the black community, and I think it's going to change. Black people are not stupid. They're not stupid. You know, they're really not. We're all human. We all have a brain. We're all capable of thinking logically. But what's got to be exposed is the Democrat way of manipulation and the brainwashing and the lies that they spew at minorities, the scare tactics, saying that your freedom as a black man or a black woman is threatened by white Republicans. They will put you back in chains they'll put y'all back in chains. Y'all be back in chains. That's what Joe Biden, the stupidest man in the Senate, said. You know, like, that's a sick thing to say. Never mind not being true. But, like, that's a terrible, terrible accusation to make. And the sad part is there are a lot of black people that really believe that. under no basis. You can't find one thing that any Republican has ever said, at least in the last 100 years, to make any black person ever think that that their freedom is going to be taken away from them. Trump is the one that finally enacted the First Step Act, freeing thousands of incarcerated black men and women. No other president. Obama, Mr. Black, first black president, he didn't do that. No other president before Trump. Trump was the first one. He gave thousands of black people a second chance at life. Isn't that worth noting? I mean, it's not a secret. Why do they ignore that? Because they're told to. And a lot of black people are scared. Scared shit to tell their fellow blacks that, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. I love Trump. Because a lot of them will try to ruin their lives. Like I said, call them Uncle Toms, hurt them, all this shit. It's terrible. It's terrible and sad. But I gotta end the show with a positive outlook. People are starting to really see Trump for really who he is. More as the days go by, more and more good things are happening to this country. And as that's happening, the more and more the Democrats, terrible, disgusting, deceitful, manipulative ways of being exposed. They're getting picked off left and right, from Avenatti to the impeachment trials, to Joe Biden, to Bloomberg being, saying the race, like, they're just being exposed left and right. And it's all happening. The Iowa caucus, what an absolute and utter disaster that was. They're just getting exposed. And this is what needs to happen. And it's going to keep happening. And there's going to be a great awakening of minorities coming out to support Trump on Election Day. Because Trump cares about everybody. He cares about every person in America, regardless of their skin color, their nationality, their religion. It doesn't matter. That's what a true president. He doesn't pander to nobody. He doesn't try to kiss anybody's ass. He's concerned about Americans first, period. And I don't see why anybody would complain about that. If anything, that's the way it's supposed to be. As an American, you're supposed to be colorblind when it comes to things like that. Forget about color. We're all one. We're all American. We need to be united. Unfortunately, like after 9/11, we were all united for a while. And even more unfortunately, I can't remember a time when we were that united since. Think about that. So I'm going to be wrapping this up now. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. This is the first one that's about a full show. I know it was probably a little choppy. There's a few segments where I had to stop it, and I tried to pick up where I left. So, and I know the sound quality is not the best, but I'm going to be working on it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I'm going to be trying to do this every day, if not every other day, and give you some great content, and going to keep improving. Appreciate you guys. God bless America.